This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We've been looking at the story of the wise men from Matthew 2. We've been going on this journey. The name of the theme has been the journey of the wise men. Look at somebody and say, the journey of the wise men. And so what we're really praying for, what we're really believing for, is that we'll see something more than just a traditional story. We'll find a revelation, something that we can apply to our life that we see in the wise men and that we see in their journey. So will you go with me to Matthew 2, the journey of the wise men? Matthew 2:1 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. So we're all on a journey to discover what God wants us to discover. We're on a journey to and with Jesus. And so no matter where you are in this room, you haven't arrived, I haven't arrived, we're all on a journey. We're all going somewhere in our faith, right? Unless you've stopped and you've camped out, you're going somewhere, or you need to go somewhere. That's the journey we're talking about. Just like the wise men, we're on a journey. And so they come in and they start asking around town, where is this new king that is to be born? And in verse 3, King Herod, it says, is deeply disturbed, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Can I tell you that not everybody's going to be excited about what God is doing in your life and where God has taken you? You know, sometimes when God starts blessing you, there's going to be some people that don't like what God is doing. They might say, well, you're not supposed to be blessed as a Christian. Christians aren't supposed to have money. Or Christians aren't supposed to have that. Or Christians aren't supposed to have this. They might not like your journey. That's okay. King Herod, and get this, it says Jerusalem, as in the city, was deeply disturbed about this news. So not everyone is going to like your journey. Not everyone is going to agree with your faith stance. King Herod was a secular-minded man. He had aligned himself with Rome. He had politicked to get into that position as the king. So he wasn't like spiritual like some of the other kings, of course, in Israel's past. He was a secular-minded man. Can I tell you, don't let people with a worldly mindset speak into your journey. If you don't have a redeemed mind, please don't tell me where I'm going, okay? Because you don't have the type of insights that I want. You don't have the type of insights that I need. And so King Herod was raised around the things of God. How many ever had a person you had in your life, they were raised around the things of God, but they just didn't kind of, they didn't have the mindset that was supposed to go with being a person of God. So don't let the worldly perspective speak into your journey. Some people even claim to be spiritual, but their advice is kind of, you know. We live in an era where people are less inclined to be involved in faith, traditional faith, involved in the Christian faith, but they still have a desire to be spiritual. And so what that equals, it equals confusion. It equals frustration. And so not everybody that claims to be spiritual has the right spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is actually the discerning of spirits. So that means when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we're able to know and discern what's going on around us and in the people around us. You got to discern those things. Not everybody that claims to be spiritual has got the right spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Discern before you listen, or at least discern while you're listening. So in verse 7, King Herod asked for a private meeting with the wise men. Can I tell you, watch who you give your ear to. Watch who you give your time to. Anybody ever been cornered by somebody and trying to talk to you, you didn't want to talk to them? You got pulled aside in a conversation. Maybe you're in church, hallelujah. come out of church, and as soon as you come out, say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? No. Guard your time. King Herod didn't have any further revelation on Jesus. He didn't have any more information about that was going to help their journey. So why did he ask for a private meeting? He had his own agenda. Can I tell you, the enemy has his own agenda for your life. God has a plan for your life. The devil has a plan for your life too. King Herod was trying to work his agenda. And sometimes the enemy uses circumstances, but sometimes the enemy uses people. Come on now. Sometimes it's a person and they know they're doing the wrong thing. They know they're doing something deceitful. Sometimes, though, it's somebody that they think they're doing a good thing. But because their life is in chaos and they're living in sin, they don't know. They're giving wrong advice. They're pointing you in the wrong direction. So guard your time. Guard your time. The enemy, if he can't stop you, will try to slow you down. If he cannot stop you in your journey, growing in God, growing in the purposes of God, he'll try to slow you down because he has his own agenda. Listen, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:6. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls. Don't throw your revelation. Don't throw the word that God gave you about your journey before pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn back and attack you. I don't know if you've ever been in this circumstance. You were trying to share some things that were precious on your heart, and you shared it with the wrong person, and they kind of just disrespected what God had told you, and then they kind of turned, and it turned into kind of a personal attack on your ability to be a successful, productive person. The Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give what is holy to people that are still unholy. They hadn't been saved. They hadn't been sanctified. They hadn't changed their mindset yet. They haven't given their lives to Christ. So you're trying to give your revelation about what God is doing in your life to somebody that's not ready to help you on your journey. The perspective of the wise men was, if you can't help me with where God is sending me, if you don't have something to add to this journey, I'm sorry, this conversation is over. Thank you for the tour of the palace. Thank you for these nice fruits and berries and whatnot. But if you don't have any further revelation on where Jesus is, I got to keep moving. There's some people sometimes that the enemy will try to bring into your life to try to slow your journey down. You got to know how to truncate that conversation and say, you know what? I love you. God bless you. I got to keep on moving because I can see you don't have any further revelation that's going to open any more doors. And sometimes we're living life and we're delayed in our blessing. How many have ever, you've had at least one or two blessings in your life delayed? You know for sure there's some delay involved in that because the enemy is out there. He's trying to delay what God is trying to bless you with. He's going to send circumstances. He's going to send some people. He's going to send some things in your life to try to slow you down, to delay your journey. And so the devil sometimes, he's subtle. King Herod didn't tell them his true intentions. He said, oh, that's great. You're looking for the king. That's awesome. That was not awesome to him. That's awesome. You go find him. Then you come back and tell me. Then we can all worship him together. No. The enemy is subtle. The enemy is tricky. Be discerning. But these wise men, they were discerning. In verse 9, it says they were discerning what God was saying to them through the star. And the star guided them. And they discerned God's leading by this star. And they followed God's sign, not voices that were around them. Let me tell you something. Every voice that's around you isn't God's voice. There was a lot of people, when they were in Jerusalem, pretty much everybody was saying the wrong thing. Can I tell you, you're going to go through some seasons in your life where it seems like there's a lot of people around you that are saying the wrong thing, giving you the wrong advice, discouraging you in the mission that God has given you. And I want to encourage you, be discerning. Focus on the God signs. Focus on the star. That's what the wise men did, the sign that God gave them. They said, I came to see if you had info on the king. You don't? Okay, we got to keep moving. If someone can't open a door, keep moving. If someone doesn't understand what God is doing in you and through you, shake it off and keep moving. You say, Pastor, that's harsh. You know what? No, it's not harsh. If there's somebody that's in your journey to help and to bless, then God put them there for you to help and to bless. If there's somebody that's blocking your journey, you need to keep moving. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:14. He said, if any house or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. Do not stay there. Whatever's blocking you in your journey, do not stay there. Shake the dust off and keep moving. Keep moving. If somebody doesn't get it here, there's somebody else that will. There's somebody else that God has in your life. There's somebody that God has in your journey that's going to get it. Keep on moving. Be about the Father's business. Don't just hang out and waste time. The wise men didn't say, okay, well, we'll stay here in the palace here, have a couple more private meetings with the king. No, they said, you don't have any more revelation on our journey. We got to keep moving. They didn't have to be ugly with it. You don't have to be ugly with it. You don't have to be mean. You just need to excuse yourself. Shake that dust off. Keep moving. Look at somebody and say, I don't have time for drama. I'm looking for the king. So in verse 10, they saw the star. When it had led them to Bethlehem, when they lined up with their God-given sign, they were able to enter in. Some of you really need to hear this today because you're at a place where you're like, well, I haven't gotten my promise. I'm still on this, I'm still waiting for it. It's okay if you're still on your journey. Keep on moving towards what God has called you to do. Keep on moving with the God sign that he's given you because you're going to line up. Eventually, you're going to line up. If you continue in the journey that God has given, you're going to line up. And in verse 10, they saw the star and they were able to line up. It led them to a house. They were lined up with the God sign. And the thing, the sign that they had been following, now they were finally in position. Can I tell you, don't stop moving until you line up with what God is saying. Far too often we're on a journey, we accomplish some good things, and we camp out. Well, we did some good things this year. Well, we made some good progress this year. Let's just sit here, let's just rest, let's just relax. No, keep moving until you line up with the God sign that he has for you. Just because you haven't gotten it yet doesn't mean you're not going to get it. Get lined up. Line up with the God sign. Get obedient to his instructions. There's a blessing there. There's a revelation there. There's an open door when you get lined up. There's an encounter there. There's kingdom relationships there. When you line up with his sign and his message for you, that's where you want to be. That's what God is saying. Because when you line up with the God sign, now there's something different that happens. You're in position. And that's what the whole journey is about. It's getting lined up so that we're in position for God's purpose and God's blessing. Because when I'm lined up with God and I've gone through this journey, and that's what our whole journey is in spiritual walk, for that season to get into this season to get lined up. The tests, the trials, everything that we go through is to get us to the place where we're lined up and we're able to be in position. Because when we're in position, we're able to enter in. See, sometimes we're wondering why we haven't walked into the fullness of what God has called us to do. We're not lined up yet. Still on the journey, getting closer, not lined up yet. But when we line up, we're in position to enter in. to enter into the fullness. And it says in verse 10, when they entered in, there was such joy. Can I tell you, there is such satisfaction when we enter in. There's such fulfillment. There's such joy. There's such happiness when we know that we're in the middle of what God has called us to do. Before, we were just on a journey, but now, when you line up, there's such joy. And that's what we want to get. We want to get lined up with what God is doing. And verse 11 says, they entered in. They entered in. Only when you're lined up can you enter in. And it says, they entered in and they began to worship. There's no better place than to be in God's presence. Whether you're going through a storm, whether you're at a great place, whether you're going through a challenge, whether you've just gotten out of a challenge, whether you're good place, bad place, to be in God's presence. They entered into God's presence. And I think that's the trick, that's the strategy of the enemy oftentimes is, you know, sometimes things get good, and we're just kind of coasting off that last blessing that God gave us, and we kind of get out of God's presence. They kind of get away from God, and we're out of His presence until the wheels fall off, and then we say, oh, I got to get back. I got to get back. But that's not what God wants for us. God actually wants to take us from glory to glory, from victory to victory, from success to success, from blessing to blessing. If we'll just get lined up with God, get in His presence, enter into the fullness of what He's doing, and God take us from one place to another place to another place. Don't settle for one blessing. Don't settle for one miracle. God wants us to have season after season of miracles. Season after season, blessing after blessing. Not stopping, but continuing to progress. Do you know what would have happened with the wise men if they would have stayed right there? Even though it was great right there in Bethlehem, they're with Jesus, they've arrived. But you know what? God is always on the move. Jesus didn't stay there in Bethlehem. Jesus went down to Egypt. He didn't just stay in Egypt. He went to Nazareth. And so for every season, what is the sign? For every season, what is the word? What is it that I should be pointing myself? What is it that my journey should include in this season? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do to line myself up and position myself with the purpose and the blessing of God? Because if I can just get lined up, if I can just enter into His presence, He's going to take me from glory to glory, blessing to blessing, and higher in Him. And so verse 11, they entered in. God wants to keep on blessing us more and more. And whether today you're full of wisdom and understanding and scripture and got money in your pocket like the Magi, or you're just on the grind 9 to 5 like the shepherds, line yourself up with the God signs and enter into His presence and stay there. His presence, when we enter in, and we've lined ourselves up, that's where the blessings are. That's where the provision is. That's where the increase is. Make His presence a regular part of your life. So they enter in, they bow down, they worship, and they open these treasure boxes of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave these incredible gifts that we still talk about today. Actually, you know, when you talk about giving gifts, we think about Mary and the alabaster box, or we think about the wise men giving gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We think about these incredible gifts, and we understand that giving gifts is a part of worship. When we give of ourselves, Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You. We understand that we can't worship without giving. Worship is a part of giving. Giving is a part of worship. And these men entered in and they began to worship and they gave. And here's one of the most exciting parts about giving to me is when we give to God, now we have the opportunity to receive something new from Him. And I believe there's so many times God is waiting to give us something. But we're waiting. We're not activating our faith. We're not activating that moment. God is waiting to give us something. We have to give because he wants to give us something that we can receive. And it doesn't matter how much that you give. You can't outgive God. You know, these men, they were intentional. They said, you know what, let's go into our house. Let's go into whatever that we have. Let's find something because this is a monumental moment. This is a special moment. This is a God moment. This is an opportunity. And I'm not coming with an afterthought. I'm not going to pick up a little souvenir on the way to Bethlehem to give God. I want to come from my house with something intentional, something that's costly, something that's precious, because I know that this is a special moment. And that when I give and I sow into this moment, God is going to give me something back. God is going to give something back that is more. How many believe that when you give, God gives you something back even more valuable? And the scripture says, to the same measure that we give, that same measurement will be measured back to us. So God is going to bless us. God is going to multiply in our lives, but he's going to use the same amount that we gave. He's going to use that as a multiplier. So if I give two, he's going to multiply two and give back. If I give five, he's going to multiply five. If I give 100, God is going to multiply 100 and give. If I give 500, he's going to multiply 500 and give it back to me. Whatever measurement that I use to give, he's going to give back to me. And so these men, these wise men, they just understood this by the Spirit. They said, let me give something of value, something that's precious. They give a literal treasure. Now, some of us today, we're saying, well, I don't have treasure. Well, you have something that's a treasure to you. What do you have that's a treasure to you? What do I have that's a treasure to me? And so these men brought what was a treasure to them. And God knows exactly what we need. God knew what the wise men needed. You know, what was so interesting was that after they gave, they had never had a divine visitation that scripture records. After they gave, it says God came to them. See, first they're just looking at a star. They're just looking at the scripture. But after they bowed down and they worshiped, they humbled themselves and they gave something precious, it says that they got higher revelation. God came to them in a dream. And so God knows exactly what we need. And when we come and we enter in and we give, God is going to give back into our life 30, 60, 100 fold. These wise men had an opportunity. So they didn't come to God with an afterthought. They came to God with an offering. They didn't come to God with an afterthought. They came to him with an offering. What is my prayer? My prayer today is that we learn from the journey of the wise men. Not just an old story, but a fresh revelation. Something that God wants to show us. We want to see the example that the wise men, how they searched with their whole heart. They went on a journey. They lined themselves up with God, what God was doing, and they entered into worship. They gave. We see their example, their pursuit. And we understand 2,000 years later, this is still a season that's about Jesus. I hope we never lose that. And all the hustle and the bustle and the Christmas carols and setting up Christmas trees, that we don't forget it's still about Jesus. Jesus is the main attraction. Because when we truly and consistently seek him, we will enter into all that he has for us. His presence is something powerful in our life. And when we go on that journey, we'll find something that he wants to show us, something that he wants to bring us into, something that he wants us to see the fullness of. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're showing us today. Thank you how you're teaching us to put you first place in our focus, in our journey. that you're number one. When we put you first, we're never disappointed. When we put you first, our worship will never be disappointed. Whenever we're on a journey, we want to stay focused on you. How we can find you. How we can worship you. How we can line up with you and what you're doing today. God, I thank you, Father. Lord, no matter what journey each and every person, God, you know where they are. You know where each of us are on our journey, God. I thank you, Father, that you would help us line up with the God signs, with a word, with a prophecy, with something that you've placed in our heart. Help us to line up with that so that we can enter in, walk into the fullness of your purpose in our life, and walk into the blessing that you want for us. Thank you, God. It's not your desire for us to wander around aimlessly. God, you have designed our journey to have purpose, to have a direction, to have a destination, and to have a blessing. And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I feel like I'm on a journey, but I'm not sure if I'm really on the right track anymore. It's kind of been some obstacles, kind of been some challenges in my life, and I feel like I've gotten off course. I've kind of disconnected in my faith or with Jesus, and I need to reconnect with Jesus. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I really need to connect with Jesus for the first time. I've been around religion, but I've never really had a relationship. Jesus is here, and that's what he's about today. He wants to connect with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to show you how to walk and to live in him. Maybe you say, Pastor, I know I've been doing stuff the wrong way. I've been doing it my way. I've been failing. I've made some mistakes. I need Jesus to forgive my sins. I want to be in right standing with him. If either of those were you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today. Amen. 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 That's the most important. That is the most important thing, is saying, God, I want to get on track with you. God, I need you. I need you. I've fallen short on my own. I've got some stuff in my life. But I know that you can fix it. You can make it right. You can help me. You can lead me. If that was you, slip. You can say this prayer with me, and everybody, you can say this in agreement. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm sorry for the times I failed, for the times I've faltered, for the bad decisions I've made, for my sin. Jesus, I pray you wipe it all away today with the power of your cross. I accept that free gift today. Now, Jesus, help me walk with you. Take me on this journey with you and to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.